What a great God we serve. What a great God. I don't know if you remember, but I remember as a boy watching Treasure Island. Treasure Island. How the pirate named Flint had buried a treasure on the island. And Flint was killed, but he left a treasure map. And when the map was found, they set sail on a ship for Treasure Island. Now, Long John Silver and some of Flint's men got on that ship that sailed for Treasure Island because they figured the treasure belonged to them. These men would stop at nothing to get their hands on that treasure. They were filled with madness, mutiny, and murder, and greed, because it was all about the treasure. You know, a treasure of gold and jewels. Isn't that what we think of when we hear about treasures? Pirates. A chest filled with gold coins and bracelets and necklaces and diamonds and the all. Yet Treasure Island is just a story written by Robert Louis Stevenson. An incredible story. An interesting story. But only a story. Yet we see the same things happening in real life. Throughout the years. Some people spend all their money and all their time and all their energy going after sunken treasure. You just have to watch some of the History Channel stuff. And we don't have the History Channel, but some of those programs on there or on the internet of people who spend thousands and thousands, if not millions of dollars, diving and searching with submarines and whatever for the sunken treasure. Well, that's sunken treasure. Well, how many people spend hours of their life and time looking for treasures from the gold rush? Or treasures that were robbed off stagecoaches. I know there's a, and I wish I could remember, my dad gave me a book, and I think I still have the book, but about lost treasures in BC. He just read the book. He wasn't a treasure hunter, but I'm pretty sure there's one that's just south of Ashcroft somewhere. There's a treasure that people still look for today. Billy Miner? Ah, there you go. I don't know if Pat's looked for that treasure, but well, he's fishing. You haven't snagged it in the fishing, eh? No. But yeah. But the truth is, people hunt for treasure. They want treasure. And you see, the definition of a treasure is something that is precious and valued to the one who wants it. It's something a person is focused on and will strive to get at great cost. Jesus talked about two kinds of treasure in the Sermon on the Mount as we continue our series on life in the kingdom. And basically tells us we have to make a choice between these two treasures. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus talks about the first treasure. He exhorted, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Jesus tells us that these first treasures are here on earth and states that we are not to go after these treasures and store them up. Material wealth was important to the people of Israel. And so as Jesus is talking at that day, he's talking about material wealth. It's not important to anybody nowadays. But back then in the days of Israel, material wealth was important. In fact, the people of Israel often seen it as a sign of God's blessing and a reward for obedience to him. I believe many think of that today. They look at people who are wealthy or people who are doing okay and they say, oh, they must be being blessed by God. Is that true? They are being blessed. But God sends the rain on the crops of the righteous and the unjust. So they're being blessed by God, but maybe not for their obedience. And it's God in his sovereignty that pours that out. But Jewish writers also regularly warned the people that wealth was not the final determination of one's spiritual standing before God. Wealth could be acquired illegitimately, and all too often the wicked are the ones who prosper. And probably that's why Jeremiah writes, you are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? Yet the accumulation of wealth for its own sake is deceptive. Because we can find that material treasure has a sense of false security. And it's an inaccurate assessment of one's spirituality. Just because we're doing good doesn't mean we're spiritually right with God. That's why Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. We are not to be focused on the material things which we believe to be precious and valuable. But these things which some value so greatly are subject to destructive effects of a fallen world, where, as Jesus states, moths and rust destroy, and where thieves will break in and steal. In the days of Jesus, there were no banks. There was no place to put your money or your wealth. So what a lot of people would do is if they had money, they would spend it and buy garments or fine clothing. But that didn't really work that well, because there was a great problem with moths, and they would go to get their fine garment out of their closet and there would be holes in it. The moths enjoyed that fine clothing. Others would take their coins and bury them in the ground. They figured that was a safe place to keep them. But the problem with the coins back in those days were most of them were made of metal and not copper and bronze, but steel. And what happens to steel when you bury it in a bag in a ground? It's not long before the bag rots and the ground and the coins rust, and you bring a piece of metal and say, no, this is a $10 coin. This is a $10 coin. It looks like a piece of rust to me. You're not going to try and pull that one on me. It's worthless. And the other issue they had would be that someone would break in to their home and just steal the money that they had hidden under their mattress or wherever they hid it in their home. And in fact, the homes back then were basically built out of mud. And easily broken through. I read that the Greek name for burglar was wall digger. They just dug through the wall and stole what they wanted. But that was back in Jesus' day. What has that got to do with us? I mean, moths. How many have had a problem with moths lately? Oh. Couple. So you guys need to take real heed to this. Don't buy fancy garments but moths aren't really a big problem nowadays, and rust isn't a problem. We have good banks that we can put our money in, you know, and we just put our money in banks. In fact, money isn't even coinage anymore. Most of the transactions just work through the banks. And what about thieves? Well, you can buy some pretty sophisticated security systems nowadays that record everything that's happening and going on. But the center of the issue is not the matter of how hard we work to accumulate and store up wealth and possessions, because they are only temporary and eventually will be destroyed. I mean, think back 2 years ago when 40-plus homes burned down in Boston Flats. Some of those people didn't have insurance. So if they had amassed a great wealth in their modular home and it burned down, they lost everything. Now, that wasn't a moth, but they could lose everything. What about the collapse of a stock market? Doesn't take long for us to lose all our investments if the stock markets tumble. Or the loss of jobs. Let's look around BC at the forest industry and how many people are losing their jobs in the forest industry right now. Might not be long before your material wealth is gone. Or there's sudden illness. And finally, there's death. You can't take it with you. These worldly treasures that we have stored up will not last. They are only temporary. But Jesus talks about another treasure. Rather than storing up riches and possessions in this life, Jesus says in Matthew 6:20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus does not identify what these treasures are, but the idea of storing up good works before God was a prominent in the Israel history. And it's prominent today. Storing up, that's what we need to do. We need to store up treasures of good works, helping our neighbors, doing whatever we can in our society to make it a better place. I heard about the mass shootings. I was watching the news about the mass shooting down in the Walmart store. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Sorry. There was a shooting in Surrey, and how a fellow got shot in a drive-through, and the other folks just, at one point they're witnesses, the next point they're helping, you know, applying pressure to wounds and doing things. And you see that. And that's storing up treasures in heaven when we're doing things that glorify God. Jesus may have been thinking here about the righteous acts, which he mentioned at the beginning of Mark 6. giving to the poor and praying and fasting and doing other valuable deeds that his followers were to do. One writer states the contrast of treasures on earth with treasures in heaven more importantly implies the contrast of values, of our life's values. We soon realize that Jesus is talking more about more than good works as he refers to our heart, our values. Jesus states in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus goes on beyond our good works to focus on our heart. For where your treasure is, that's where our heart will be. The heart represents the core of a person's being. The real inner person, the person's spiritual, emotional, and psychological life. That's the heart of a person. What a person values is driven by the nature of a person's heart. So what we value most, what we would do almost anything to obtain, is driven by our heart. And isn't that what we've seen Jesus declare throughout the Sermon on the Mount? How many times in the last number of weeks have I said, it's all about the heart? And I mean, Jesus started the message with, "Blessed is the pure in heart, for they will see God." In Matthew 5, verse 8, that's where he started this whole message. And he continues that same thought here with whatever his followers have placed as their highest value in life. It's a gauge of the condition of our heart. Truly, the greatest treasure in heaven is the Father. And if we would keep our hearts fully focused on Him, then all other treasures in this world would look like nothing in comparison. I mean, when we look at the treasures, I mean, that's exactly where Pauline was the last little while of her life. She was totally focused on the Father. And everything else was meaningless. I just want to be with the Father. I just want to go home. If our Heavenly Father is our treasure, if we are devoted to Him, our hearts will be healthy in our priorities, motives, righteousness, righteous deeds, ambition, security, personal self-worth, and relationships. Our life will be in right perspective when our focus, when our heart is set on the Father. But Jesus says the choice is ours. We can choose to build treasures here on earth or treasures in heaven. That's the first choice he talks about. Now Jesus moves on to where the heart gets all its info. Where does that heart get all its info from? He says in Matthew chapter 6, 22 to 23, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" If the heart is focused on what we treasure, what we value, then Jesus is saying here that all comes in through the eyes. Comes through the eyes to the heart. The eye is what fills the heart with what we're focused on. If my eyes are totally focused on a treasure chest full of jewels and money, if my eyes are totally focused on building a mass of wealth for myself, that's where my heart is. I drove a couple of folks, Kathy and I drove a couple of folks from Ashcroft to Cache Creek yesterday, a couple that we knew. They have nothing. Absolutely nothing. But where was their heart? You know, it was so interesting to hear them say they had found a book in the second time round, or maybe they bought it at the market. No, they bought it at the market yesterday. That's where they bought it. They had been in Cache Creek, they'd gone to Ashcroft, and they'd come back. But they found this book in the marketplace, the market, and they'd bought it because of the name Lois Petty. And for you folks who know Lois Petty or don't know Lois Petty, she is in the Anglican Church, and one of the, I'm not sure if she's an ordained minister or it's the lay minister there, but she'd written this book, and they'd heard that she did not have a copy of her book. She'd given them all away. And so they bought this book to give to her, but they read the first few words, or first few lines in the book, and it was about how she really enjoyed this other author. And you know, they had one of those books as well. And they were going to give her both these books. These people who had absolutely nothing had spent money to bless. Those are treasures in heaven. That wasn't in my notes, so I don't know where I am. There are two eyes. One's good, one's bad. If the eye is good, it will focus on the things of God, then everything else will be in right relationship. Jesus will be in first place in our hearts, and we will use all that he has given us to live a life in the kingdom of God, to bring glory and honor to him. On the other hand, our eyes can be bad. The word bad here has the connotation of being greedy and coveting. If our eye focuses on the treasures of earth, then that greed and covetousness will crowd out the good, and God eventually takes second place. If our eyes are fixed on earthly treasure as our value, things like personal significance and earthly security, then our hearts will likewise be full of darkness. When we focus on something evil, the eye becomes a conduit by which the evil fills the inner person. Now, before you get me wrong, and like I've said many times, as I've mentioned before, it's not wrong to have a good job, and it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to live in a nice home. What Jesus is saying here is, where is the eye focused? Is the eye focused on God? Or is the eye focused on the possessions? Because what the eye is focused on is where our heart will be. So Jesus says, the choice is ours. We can have good eyes or bad eyes. We can get treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. But Jesus concludes this part of his message with these words. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus gives us a third choice. They're sort of all the same in a sense. But which master will we serve? Will we serve God or will we serve money, material things? He is asking us if our material possessions or money will come before him. Jesus is declaring that he's looking for loyalty to him alone as our master. He is saying that we are to be unconditionally committed to him to a point where we would be willing to reject and give up everything else. So I said, you know, it's okay to have a nice home. It's okay to have a good job. It's okay to have an ATV or a boat or a trailer or whatever we have. It's okay. But if God came along and said, will you sell that and give the money to somebody in need or to a mission? Would God have first place in our heart, or would our possessions have first place in our heart? Would we give up everything for God? He gave up everything for us. That's what we remembered this morning. There can be no divided loyalties with God. He must take first place. So at the end of Jesus sharing here, we are left with choices. Which treasure are we going after? Treasures on earth that will only last for earthly time, or treasures in heaven that will last for an eternity? Which eyes will we let influence our heart? The bad eye, which is focused on our earthly treasures, or the good eye, which is focused on God and him alone? Which master will we be devoted to? Our Heavenly Father or our possession? So the ultimate question is, where is our heart? What is in the heart? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the one who gave us the heart. And you are the one who gives us the free will to choose. And Lord, I know, my friends here today and I would choose treasures in heaven, good eyes, and that you would be our master. And that our heart would be set solely on you. And through that, everything would be right. Father, we thank you that you are Lord over our lives, no matter what. May we glorify you in everything we do and say this week and in the weeks to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.